Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
It has been since 2014 since you've gotten an SEC Defensive Player of the Week. 2014, 6 years since you've had someone garner that award. And that is the correct way of saying it, so Clay can't get mad at me this morning. But that is wild to me. Bumper Pool, Joe Fouché, named co-defensive players of the week by the SEC. I know a lot of you are wondering, somehow, someway, the SEC office down in Birmingham is going to screw the two guys that you thought clearly deserved it after their performances. Joe Fouché, two interceptions, two big-time interceptions. Bumper Pool, 20 tackles, a career high, was unbelievable in this football game. But that was staggering to me to read the email from the Arkansas Athletics office, first time Player of the Week since 2014. We got to talk about their performance, and we got to talk about how important it is for the defense to continue, especially this week against Auburn. It is a Toyota Tuesday, and this is the Morning Rush, 877-377-6963. Your number to always to call or text in. We are streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. We are also on the TuneIn app as well. As we mentioned yesterday, our schedule has changed a little bit. Tom Murphy's now going to join us Mondays at 7:20, and Clay is going to be with us like he is on Fridays, every Friday, and then also today from 7 to 9. A little surprising to me to see it's been that long, Tommy.
Surprising to have that gap, but you really think, well, what performances between then and now really merited to have that honor in a league that's known for great defensive players and great defensive performances, and there's probably not many that have been robbed of that performance. But, you know, with the way Arkansas, I think it's really kind of a cumulative effort, meaning you can't just have one great game, particularly in a non-conference game, and earn that. Arkansas has had a couple of good defensive performances in a row, one in a loss, one in a win this week, and I think it was time to probably honor some Razorbacks, and to do it with a co-defensive player with two Hogs was pretty good.
Also, the last time that someone has had 20 tackles for the Hogs in 10 years, last guy to do that was Jerry Franklin back in 2010. Also, to Bumper's credit, single season high right now, Tommy, with 20 tackles.
Yeah, you'd have thought Martrell Spate might have had a game like that. Mm-hmm. As many tackles as he had, was that 2014? You'd have thought it was 116 tackles or whatever it was in the year, some number like that. You would have thought he'd have had a game like that, but he didn't.
And one of the things, it's funny, we mentioned 2014. That's really the last time you had a, what I would consider, salty defense. Darius Filon, Tommy's mentioned Martrell Spate, Trey Flowers. I mean, that Dietrich Wise, that defense got after you. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Ledbetter, I mean, that defense had some dudes up front. You think about that season. Amari Cooper was held to less than 21 yards that year. And he was one of the best wide receivers in the country. He still is for the Dallas Cowboys. You think about just what they were able to do to Dak Prescott. Tommy, they only held him to 17 points. That's probably one of the best, if not one of the best, quarterbacks in country that year. Number one, all SEC that year. That defense came up to play. The shutout against LSU, the shutout against Ole Miss, only giving up 7 points to Texas. I mean, that defense was all over the field. And so far, I don't know if I'm ready to jump out over the edge and say this defense is the equivalent to that, but this is probably, at least through two games, the best defense you've had in 6 years.
Through two games, I would agree.
Again, to temper your expectations.
But pretty good competition through two games. I mean, Georgia's offense, probably not as good as Mississippi State's. You probably faced the better offense last week, I would say, and certainly the better quarterback. In KJ Costello, you neutralized him. So, you haven't done these things. You haven't racked up these numbers. You haven't looked this way in non-conference games against non-Power 5 opponents. So, to me, this what you've done carries weight. You know, normally at two games into the season, you may not have even played a conference game. So, how good is your performance? Well, pretty good. You played two ranked teams to this, two top 16 teams to this point. So I got to put a lot of weight in what has happened so far.
So when can we make a determination about this defense? 877-377-6963. How many games is it going to take for you to be comfortable in saying this is one of the best defenses they've had in a long time? Because, again, we're factoring all this in after two games. And this style of offense that they're playing this week is going to be more similar to what they played against Georgia, where Auburn is going to try and pound you into the ground. Gus Malzahn is frustrated what happened against Georgia. So is Chad Morris. Maybe that's boiling over a bit, which you would enjoy because there's pressure on both of them to beat the Arkansas Razorbacks this week. And they're going to come after you. Bo Nix and company are going to try and destroy you this week. So if you can handle them, or at least contain them, I think you start wondering if this defense is the best it's been since 2014.
Is two more games too long? I mean,
you think about the offense. You play Auburn and then Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss with the high vaulted passing attack. Auburn with a good, and Ole Miss can run the ball too.
And that's what I was thinking. You're going to see a little bit of everything by then, right? You've seen young quarterbacks in week one, inexperienced quarterback, but still an experienced enough group. And Georgia's offense is not the leader of their team. We know their defense is their stalwart. Last week you saw a really good quarterback that Arkansas neutralized, as we said, but not the best offensive line, pretty decent group of wide receivers, a great running back with Hill. This week, better quarterback. Well, is Nix a better quarterback than Costello? That's a good question.
JT in Hot Springs texting Tommy says, because Chad Morris is the OC, you really can't judge the defense this week either.
But a team that's going to run it at you, a different team. Mississippi State, obviously, throw, but you got Colin Hill that can run. But we know what Bo Nix and Chad Morris and Gus Mount, they're going to run it. So I think by the time you get through Ole Miss, you've seen a diverse enough group of offenses, a diverse enough group of quarterbacks, running backs and wide receivers, you got a pretty good grasp by game four going into the bye week of what this defense is or isn't.
And I'm excited to see if this defense can continue it up. Now, injuries are going to play a major factor. It looks like Julius Coates is going to be back on Saturday. We got to wait and see on Dorian Gerald. I think Monteric Brown is going to be back on Saturday. We'll get into more Sam Pittman, what he had to say coming up, and then on the quick hitting headlines as well. But it's going to be important that this defense gets healthy. And unfortunately, in that Mississippi State game, you had guys missing and you had guys go down. We saw Grant Morgan gut it out. We saw some other guys play through some hampered and some injuries, and they need to continue to do that if this defense stands a chance, because you got to respect guys coming in that made plays regardless if they were expected to or not. They were able to do that. So I'm just kind of curious to see what this defense is going to be moving forward, if you can have the comparison by seasons in to that 2014 team. And like we have to do with every other stat this season, we got to remember it's 10 SEC teams that they're having to face this year.
Yeah, and staying healthy. I know we're going to talk a lot about that with Clay when we get in, getting Burks and getting Boyd back into practice yesterday. How much they were able to participate in practice, we don't know. But, getting a Dorian Gerald back on the defensive line, having Coates there, having Monteric Brown, so having these guys, COVID's enough of a worry for a coach. Then you add in injuries, which are normal. You couple those two things together, and, Arkansas's got to have these guys to have a chance. So having players are critical any year, but, this year more than ever.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
You beat Mississippi State on the road, who beat the defending national champion, LSU. If you can beat Auburn on the road, do you think that Arkansas is the second-best team in the SEC West? Now, Alabama is clearly the best team in this division, but Arkansas would have a case with two big-time SEC West road wins if that would happen. And you played Georgia tough for almost three quarters and held them for 39 minutes.
Yeah, let's see. Who else is playing? Let me get the other games in front of me here for this week, because that's also a key part of this question. So if Arkansas beats them, because if Ole Miss beats Alabama, which I don't think is very likely, that would change that question. They play this week. A&M if they went to, or that Florida's going to College Station, if that happened, you would consider A&M in that conversation. We probably don't think Florida's going to lose at College Station, but
it's going to be a fun game, though.
That's going to be a fun one to watch. Kentucky and Mississippi State, you know, Mississippi State beats Kentucky and Lexington. That probably doesn't change our opinion there. Who else in the West? LSU and Missouri probably doesn't change much there. So there's a couple of games in that question mark, but probably not very likely with some of the favorites in the league with Florida and Alabama hosting the likes of Ole Miss and A&M. So Arkansas, all three of those teams, Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M, heavy underdogs to some pretty good teams. So
Steven in Tulsa texts in. He says, are other SEC teams still looking at Arkansas as it's just Arkansas? Are they actually getting prepared to play a good team? I would say Mississippi State, what happened there is why Arkansas is no longer going to be looked at as just Arkansas. Because if you sleepwalk into a game with the Razorbacks, you're going to get beat, as Mississippi State found out on Saturday. Maybe in years past, that's how teams looked at Arkansas, Stephen, but I don't think this year. I think Sam Pittman, Barry Odom have done a fantastic job, and hopefully Kendall Briles will get to that point that this offense starts rolling, which I think it can, but my goodness gracious, that is no longer the case with this Arkansas program.
I think maybe players do. Do you think coaches look at it? I don't think coaches look at it that way at all. Now, maybe players don't take a team with a record that Arkansas's had recently serious, and let's keep in mind Arkansas's won one game. They still got a, you know, if you want to expand the record out, it's now what, 2-23 over the last however many years. I mean, still not great. So you know, going back to 17, so 2-24, whatever that would be. So I mean, you need to win some games this year. You need to try to find a way to go 5-5 or something to earn respect. Mm-hmm. Respect is earned, not given, as the cliche goes. But I don't think coaches go into a game week telling their players, hey, you know, this is an off week, more or less. And don't take it serious. It's glorified practice.
To that note,
players do.
The coaches are the ones that are consistently having to remind players, you better compete or you're going to lose. But mm-hmm. you know how it is in a college football locker room.
Oh, yeah.
When you look across the other way at a team that's 0-4, a team you don't respect, it's just hard to get up for that game as you would for an Alabama or Georgia or Florida. Mm-hmm. But because of that win, I don't think Arkansas is going to be looked past, which is going to be important. Here's a text from Henley in Dallas. He says, Coach Pittman talks about instilling confidence in our team, which I think he has. He thinks that Arkansas has shown us nothing but hard work and drive. He wants them to give us a chance. He's got Arkansas winning 24-17. So if Henley is correct, if the Razorbacks were to pull it off this weekend, y'all, I think there is a serious consideration that this team is the second-best team in the SEC West, because I think Ole Miss is going to lose to Alabama, mm-hmm. which would put them at 1-2.
That's a good thought.
At Texas A&M is going to lose to Florida,
probably,
which would put them at 1-2. Mm-hmm. And I know that those losses, I mean, Florida and Alabama, like those aren't bad losses to have.
No. Those are reasonable thoughts.
Mississippi State, they're going down to Lexington. Kentucky still hasn't won a football game, so they're going to be fired up to win. Mississippi State, theoretically, could be 1-2. They just gave Mark Stoops the blueprint of how to beat him. Barry Odom literally just, here, this is how you beat Mike Leach. And I know Leach, hopefully, for his team's sake, adjusts that next game for that. LSU, who are they getting this weekend? Forgot.
What did I just say? LSU this week has Missouri.
Missouri.
In Baton Rouge.
LSU's going to win that game, so they'll be at 2-1. What team am I missing? Am I missing one? I said Ole Miss, Alabama. I've said Mississippi State. I've said LSU, I've said Texas A&M.
Uh-huh.
I think that's it.
Arkansas, we got Auburn yeah, and Arkansas.
I think so, that's it. So yeah. if that was to happen, Tommy, I just laid it out for you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so if it holds to form, because that would be form, right? Other than Arkansas beating Auburn, I mean, just where would you be record wise? Alabama would be 3-0. Arkansas would be 2-1.
LSU would be 2-1.
Auburn would be
1-2.
1-2. Like I said, LSU would be 2-1. Those teams not playing yet. Ole Miss would be 1-2 after losing to Bama. State, you had them losing to Kentucky, right? They're playing out of the division.
Kentucky's going to get up for that game.
But here's the deal. Even if State won, it's inconsequential what State does, because Arkansas beat them on the field. And then if A&M loses to Florida, so record-wise, yeah, Arkansas is going to, if they beat Auburn, going to be second record-wise. So, I mean, scoreboard, hello. I mean, so if all that happens, You don't have to make the case. The case is going to be on the league standings.
And I think it's pretty obvious that the LSU wins compared to the Arkansas wins. The LSU wins would be at Vanderbilt and at home against Missouri compared to the Arkansas wins on the road against Mississippi State, on the road against Auburn. There's no comparison.
Yeah.
Arkansas. Now, somehow, some way, people would find a way to put LSU above Arkansas. But if that's the case, I think it's pretty cut and dry. Arkansas should be considered the second-best team in the SEC West.
At this point.
At this point, if they go on the road and beat the Auburn Tigers on Saturday. Will that happen? I don't know. Yeah. But that should be considered.
Still early. Let's not get carts miles in front of horses at this point. But it's great to even have the conversation.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Need to see more on Dorian Gerald, and defensively, you need to get full strength going in there. But Rakeem Boyd, Treylon Burks, to know they're back at practice. Hopefully, they're effective and able to move around and participate fully at practice. But you know, you don't want to go down to Auburn without those two guys. They're not your two best offensive players; they're two of your best four for sure.
He said that he didn't think Monteric Brown would be back at practice yesterday. He did think that Julius Coates was going to be ready for Saturday. He was unsure about Dorian Gerald. So there's some guys that are still kind of up in the air about right now if they're going to be able to participate against the Auburn Tigers or not. And particularly on the defensive end, you need those guys back for this upcoming
game. You know, if you look at what happened injury-wise in that game, I mean, at one point, Grant Morgan was out for a spell. Bumper Poole came to the sideline for a spell. You went through, Monteric Brown. You go through Dorian Gerald, didn't play in the game. You just go through the list, and they played that well, came out with a win. We'll get into this with Clay. He wrote a nice piece on this. You know, didn't even go down with a full 70 to play that well.
67.
Didn't even have their full 70. To play that well, that shorthanded on that side of the ball, that's part of this story that probably needs to be told and told loudly about what happened with this defense. There's more to this story about not just how they played well and how Bumper Poole and Grant Morgan got all these tackles in this game. The fact that you were missing players from the get-go like Dorian Gerald and players that left the game, and just there's some underlying layers here that make this story to me even more interesting.
There's so many
with what Barry Odom had to deal with and this defensive unit dealt with before the game, during the game, to come out with the result they had against Mississippi State.
Yeah, it was fantastic, no question about it. So you get Mississippi State this win this past week, and you're playing another Mississippi school in 2 weeks. You take on the Ole Miss Rebels. The game time has been announced, 2:30 on ESPN2.
Yeah, and normally you don't get a 2:30 game on a network that's not CBS, but because CBS has the doubleheader that day, it opened up another window, and we're in the weird COVID year, so that's a great spot for Arkansas to be in. Everybody wants to avoid the 11 o'clock game for whatever reason. I think sometimes you don't want to be stuffed in the middle of the day up against marquee games, but I like the 2:30 spot for that Ole Miss game, particularly when you're at home. There's not any tailgating, at least sanctioned tailgating on campus this year, so the atmosphere is not the same. But I think fans enjoy that middle of the day. I like the primetime games like we had this past week, but just being able to celebrate football is great. 11's just not good when you're having fans come from Russellville, come from Hot Springs, come from Mena, come from Camden, other parts of the state. 11 makes it tough on fans to get there. So I like the later starts just so fans and in a normal year recruits can get to ball games.
You called me yesterday. You thought it was kind of a bit of gamesmanship that Auburn didn't list a depth chart this week.
But I'm going to ask Clay about this. I don't normally read game notes for teams we're not playing. I don't know if this is something Gus normally does in a week, but they didn't put it in their game notes. I've got who they started last week printed out over here, but is this something Gus normally does? I don't pay enough attention to what Auburn puts in their game notes week in, week out, other than the week Arkansas plays Auburn. But, no depth chart in Auburn's game notes when I printed them out yesterday.
couple NFL notes that we got yesterday. Adam Schefter and Dan Grisadio broke the news that Bill O'Brien, Houston Texans, both head coach and general manager, has been fired.
Our old friend Clint Sterner, who does radio in Houston, has got plenty of content for today. And I saw him tweet out that ownership had plenty of reasons to go through with this move. And here we are pretty early in the NFL season, already a head coach on the chopping block.
Texans have the highest payroll in the NFL at $248 million. And they're 0-4.
Yeah,
that's something. Think about,
they go back to that other number, $248 million.
It's a lot of money.
You've got a lot of expectations when you have a payroll that high.
Scooter Harris got some playing time last night on special teams. He was on the practice squad. He was elevated. The Green Bay Packers were able to beat the Atlanta Falcons. I know Bob Holt was happy and Tom Murphy was not. 30-16. I wonder if Bob texts/ if that will be mentioned at their next speaking engagement.
I did see Bob and Tom having, wasn't that a radio show too at some point? I saw them having a back and forth on Twitter, and Tom Murphy complaining about the lack of holding calls. And Bob asked Tom on Twitter if he wanted some fine Wisconsin cheese with that wine he was having on Twitter. So that was a fun exchange that everybody got to share in last night.
When Bob Holt is trash talking to you, you know you've made it live. So, as well, the other Monday night game, the original Sunday night game, and again, the Kansas City Chiefs, your home right here, ESPN Arkansas, ESPN 95.3 and ESPN 104.3. The Chiefs now move to 4-0. They beat the Cam Newton-less New England Patriots 26-10.
Important distinction.
Yeah, Tyrann Mathieu had a pick six on Jared. I felt bad for Jared Stidham. He comes in right off the bat. The ball goes off Julian Edelman's hand, and Mathieu took it back to the house. The Kansas City Chiefs, and again, like you said, important distinction, no Cam Newton. That game's going to be a lot different if they meet in the playoffs if Cam is playing. But Patrick Mahomes and company, they move to 4-0. And I'm wondering, I would bet my bottom dollar that David in South Arkansas calls in at some point and talks about his Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and it's sweet to get a victory anytime over the Patriots, but it's not quite as sweet when you beat them less than full strength. I don't care how you feel about it, but you'll take the win. 4-0 is great. Be interesting to watch with Cam Newton. The protocol says 5 days after your first positive test, if you can have consecutive negative tests, you can return. So that will be an interesting thing to watch with the Patriots to see if Cam Newton can be cleared to return to play.
And right on cue, it is David in South Arkansas. And we got to do this, David, as we always do. Kansas City Chiefs, big win last night against Bill Belichick in the Pats.
Love it. And I will say this also. I know it's going to be all over the place. Well, they didn't have Cam Newton. Well, they didn't have Cam Newton. I don't care. It's an NFL team. You have backups. They still had Belichick. They still had Josh McDaniel. You know, you still beat an NFL team, the Patriots, 26-10. And on top of that, gentlemen, it is Raider Week. Raider Week, yes, indeed. And I am going up to the game this weekend. Yeah.
That's going to be a blast.
Did we lose,
man.
David?
Still there, David? I think we lost him.
Oh, man. I wanted to ask David.
There he goes. Go ahead, David.
Oh, earlier y'all were talking about our defense and the wonderful, wonderful job they did against Mississippi State. Fundamentals. Tackling, wrapping up, not just hitting and like the runner bouncing off, finishing the play, going to the ball, converging, excellent coaching on the part of Odom and the defense. But, gentlemen, it's a wonderful day.
David's phone signal's not good enough, but I wanted to ask him how he would feel if the shoe was on the other foot and Mahomes had been the one out for the game, Patriots had won against a Mahomes-less Chiefs. He would probably be, cutting at the core of the credibility of the win by the Patriots. So.
You had Brian Ear facing off against Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham last night. I couldn't even tell you who the Chiefs' backup quarterback is. So, but happy for David in South Arkansas as far as that goes. He brings up a good point about the coaching aspect that Barry Odom has brought. This text comes from James in Charleston. He says, "I will never take competent coaching for granted again. Almost forgot what it was like."
How many times did we bring this up over the summer? Coaching was going to be the biggest. You can talk about Felipe Franks, which so far has been a marginal difference in this season, and several other factors. We thought O-line improvement was going to be a factor. But the number one factor I kept driving home was I thought coaching, the difference in the coaching would be, and so far that has been, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. So coaching has been a huge difference in this team to this point. So, all right, those are our quick-hitting headlines this morning. They are brought to you by Spear Group Security. Are you concerned about an employee that you have to let go in the near future? If you're worried about dealing with this situation with an employee that has been known to intimidate or threaten in the workplace, it could turn volatile, get loud, or emotional, call Spear Group Security. They've been called in by many companies to help face off in a situation that could be volatile when terminating a difficult employee. They're highly trained ex-military and ex-police professionals at Spear Group can assist you in the termination of a potentially violent employee and help you avoid a costly disaster in the workplace. They're well-versed in the process of making difficult situations run smoothly for you. Give Spear Group Security a call to visit with them about your specific situation. Their phone number is 501-310-5425. That's 501-310-5425. Or go to their website at speargroupsecurity.com. Their website, you'll see it right on there, says Peace During Chaos. They're easy to talk to. They'll give you a great assessment of your security needs and give you a plan on how to move forward. 501-310-5425 or speargroupsecurity.com. Call them before you know what hits the fan.
I asked a great question yesterday, what Chad Morris looks like, and got some fantastic responses. We'll get in that conversation coming up. Before we do that, I want to go to the home of the Cyclones. Welcome in Danny in Russellville. Danny, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning, guys. You got Florida, Alabama, and Georgia at the top. They're obviously above the rest of the SEC. But then you got, after that, you got a gaggle. You got your Texas A&M, Auburns, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Arkansas. You know, if you look at it, Kentucky and Ole Miss play no defense. I mean, I watched that game, boys. Bad defense. And there's this disease going around called boneheaditis, and Kentucky definitely should have won that football game. Going in for a score, start celebrating at the 15-yard line. Mm-hmm. You know, that. How many times do you tell players not to do that? And it makes me wonder, how did Devion Warren get caught on that one long pass as fast as he is? But anyway, we won the game. You're talking about Auburn, a team that loves to run the football. That's what they want to do. So it's going to be interesting to see what Barry Odom's dials up, because their pass offense is not like Mississippi State's, but they want to run first. And the Hogs need to get their running game really going. Their offense will just go to the next gear if they can get that running game going. And before I get off here, guys, what are the chances? I know I'm getting out there a little bit. What are the chances of Arkansas being eligible for a bowl game this year? And you guys have a good day.
Danny, appreciate the call. Tommy, if I remember correctly, everyone's eligible a bowl game.
Did the Football Oversight Committee vote that they were thinking about making everyone eligible and win totals basically to the wayside? Did they officially vote on that yet? But that was essentially the way they were going. So I think the odds are pretty high, Danny. So
I can't remember.
I don't know if that vote has actually taken place, but so. It was inevitable that was going to happen.
Okay. So, alrighty, I've been waiting. I've been waiting to do this for a while. And as far as Tommy, I asked the question yesterday on social media: what does Chad Morris look like? And got some fantastic responses from our listeners. And if you want to call or text in, what does Chad Morris look like to you? It's 877-377-6963. I'm gonna list these off and you rate them 1 to 10. These four first come from Ryan Folks, our baseball buddy. He starts off by saying the Sultan of Squat.
Because he hadn't done squat?
Yes. Rank these 1 to 10.
That's pretty good. 7.
The Titan of Terrible Play Calling.
That's about an 8.
Okay. The Chaser of Clout.
Ooh, that's a 7.
7. The Keen of Crash and Burn.
9.
I like that one.
I like that.
This is probably my favorite one, and I'm forgetting who sent me this one.
I read it.
Chad Morris is, if non-alcoholic beer was a person.
Yeah, that's a 9 right there.
That is an easy, that is probably going to be my favorite one on the list. And again, if you want to call or text in, what does Chad Morris look like? It's 877-377-6963. The Great Shambino. Instead of the Great Bambino, the Great Shambino.
Because he's a sham? About a 5.
Not so high on that one?
About a 5 on that one.
Gomer Pyle?
Well, he wasn't a surprise. I see a little bit of the resemblance. About a 6 on that one.
The most implosive offense in college football. That's what you think of Chad Morris?
Yeah, about a 7 on that.
Bozo the Clown?
Too easy. About a 3. Got to do better than that.
Not sure who it is, but I do recall him in the left lane breaking down.
Breaking down, yeah.
I'll
give you an 8 on that.
8 on that. Salesman of the month at your local used car dealership.
I don't want to insult the local car dealership, so I'm going to give that one about a 2 because I think the car dealership should be held in higher esteem.
A pizza burn on humanity's mouth.
Ooh. Well, you like pizza, so I'm going to yield to you on that. You're the pizza guy.
I'm going to be honest. When I have pizza, I burn myself every time because I never wait for it to cool off a little
You're eating
bit.
It in the car before you even get home, aren't you?
Yeah.
In the parking lot before you pull out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know how some people, like, they can't even make it home with their to-go bag? Or their
It's not a pizza burn. It's a grease burn.
Yeah, seriously. It is hot.
Yeah.
Another response here is the owner of Club Dud. Not Club Dub, Club Dud.
That's about an 8 there.
That's an 8. Yeah. Telling my kids this is Charles Ponzi.
That's a 9. I like that one.
Oh, man. 877-377-6963. Text at the 870 says a high school coach.
He was.
Technically, he was a high school coach.
Don't insult the high school coach.
Yeah. Oops, that wasn't a fart, is what Eric and Greenwood text in. Brandon from Paris says he looks like a great junior high coach. Who's Gary Ware? Do you know who Gary Ware is?
Gary Ware was Bozo the Clown.
Is that Bozo the Clown?
The late Gary Ware.
Okay.
And he was involved with Oakland for a number of years.
McKenzie says mathematician.
He was a math teacher, wasn't he?
Was Morris a math teacher?
I know he had a stats degree from A&M. Who knew that A&M had math degrees?
Don't refrain from math teachers because my little sister's she's a math teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sean right. from Alma texting Bob Barker.
We can't insult Bob Barker that.
Bob's got more game than Chad.
Easily.
Yeah.
Another text in. The offensive equivalent of the Roadrunner. Beep, beep.
Okay, that's a little bit of a thinker there.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand that.
The Roadrunner actually went fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I can't really get on board with that one.
I feel like the Roadrunner was a productive program.
Yeah.
What's the Coyote's name?
Chad Morris. Yeah.
I just thought it was the Coyote.
Wiley Coyote.
Wiley Coyote. Yeah.
Who is like Clark Stanley, as in Clark from... It's not Clark Griswold. Who's Clark Stanley? Does anyone know?
I know who Clark W. Griswold is.
Yeah, I was going to say. That was a text.
When I saw that on the list here, I figured that was just some millennial thing I was unaware of.
I didn't know either. Catch says Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon?
A Jeff Gordon resemblance there?
No,
I do know who Jeff Gordon is.
Not really.
Jeff
Gordon actually was successful. He's like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's like, I would say he's a pretty good NASCAR driver as far as that goes. Got a bunch of text in here again, 877-377-6963. What does Chad Morris look like? Stan the Chili Man text in. He says he's chili without meat or seasoning.
Pretty bland, huh, there, Stan?
Oh, man.
Stan, it's getting about chili season, too, by the way.
Yeah, he said he might bring some in this week.
All right.
JB from Bentonville texting, he says he looks like the front door greeter at Walmart.
All right.
That comes and he says
More like the front door greeter at Kmart is probably who he looks
Kmart.
Like.
He didn't make
the cut at Walmart. He's in the minor leagues. He's at Kmart.
Text from Peyton and Sydney. He says the annoying PE teacher who wouldn't let you play dodgeball.
In fact, back up. He's the guy at Sam's Club that's annoying you by asking you for your membership card before they're going to let you in the door. That's who Chad Morris is. I'm sorry, sir. I need to see your membership card.
I've eaten at Sam's Club before without having a membership card because their pizza is so good. I'll just walk in.
It's not that it's good. It's just really cheap.
That's probably the better way to put it.
It's okay, but it's just cheap. Joseph, which makes it a good value.
Belinda texts in, says an oil salesman from Texas. Can you see Chad Morris selling
a snake oil salesman or just an oil salesman?
This one, I wouldn't get a
oil
snake.
Salesmen are probably successful from Texas.
This one says snake oil salesman.
Probably snake oil salesman would be more like it.
Let's see. What are some other ones? I don't know what feather down means. Text out of the 501 says he looks like a cliche.
Feather down would be a playoff hammer down.
Okay. Text out of the 501, Tommy, this one's good. A cliche machine. He did have some cliches.
He didn't write the book. He read the book.
Bradford Mountain Home text in, he's 30%. Don't need to really expand on that outside of that.
Phrase he should have just stayed away from altogether.
This one text in, Lance Armstrong. I guess.
I can see that.
Are we talking about the physical resemblance? Because he never, again, Lance Armstrong cheated, but he actually, I guess, semi-won something. Yeah.
Who's Eddie? Do you know who Eddie Haskell is?
Eddie Haskell was in Leave It to Beaver. He was one of the characters in Leave It to Beaver.
Is he a funny guy character or what's?
He was the neighbor. He was one of the other kids in the neighborhood. He was kind of annoying, an annoying pest. So yeah. that would make sense.
Didn't really have much of an impact at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Tucker and Sherwood texted. He says he's
in fact, there's a chain of restaurants called Eddie Haskell's.
He's a sacrilegious candle that doesn't light.
There were, and in this very studio at one time, there was a Chad Morris candle. Yeah. So.
Text out of the 479, vanilla by design.
Very accurate.
And very accurate.
Joe texts in, he says, Gus's son.
Yeah, that's true.
We need a...
I think we could replace the son with a different word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't you think that's one call Gus wishes he hadn't taken... 15, 20 years ago, whatever that was, when he was in Springdale, and that coach from Texas called and said, hey, I need some help. I'm about to get fired down here that in Texas at my high school job, wherever, whichever school he was. Can I come up and watch you? Learn something?
Morris is the Doris Explorer of jobs. Matt in Springdale texted in. He said, door-to-door vacuum salesman. Mm.
Do they still have that? There's still people out there selling rainbow vacuum cleaners.
We did have
for $1,800.
We did have someone come at like 7 o'clock at night to my buddy's apartment trying to sell insurance, and I just
door to door insurance.
Yeah, and that's illegal, isn't it?
I don't know if it's illegal.
I didn't think you could solicit product like that. Maybe I'm wrong. So I didn't think it would. Maybe
I think
I'm wrong.
It's illegal.
Doyle from Certhy texted, and he says the hammer down clown is now the Gus bus driver.
Mm.
Oh,
man. Gus bus.
The Gus bus. Adam from Prairie Grove says, Chaz Morris looks like the rundown house in the nice neighborhood that desperately needs its lawnmower. Oh, these are great, y'all. 877-377-6963. Russ from Jonesboro text in says, Chad Morris looks like a slot machine. I guess you don't win on that slot machine.
Well,
you don't win on slot machines, period.
Generally, you don't.
But once every now and then they pay out.
Every once in a while?
Every now and then they'll pay out.
He lost his payout when he went to Clemson.
We had about, in 10 minutes there, we had about 30 or 40 texts.
Yeah. Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
Woo! Oh,
yes, sir!
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
You will play Lane Kiffin and the 38ers in Fayetteville next Saturday at 2:30. That was the game time announcement yesterday from ESCC office. A little surprising, but happily enough for many of you who do not enjoy 11 o'clock games. To this point, you have avoided every single 11 o'clock game that you could have gotten.
Yeah, and you got lucky because that is the week Alabama plays Georgia. That's a primetime game on CBS, so they don't have a 2:30 game that day. SEC is going to be on ESPN at 2:30 and then ESPN2 with the Razorbacks. So everything kind of worked out. And so it's a great day. You can watch the 11 a.m. game, Hogs at 2:30, and then we can all settle back and, smoke a pork butt or do whatever and get ready for the game of the regular season this year, which is Bama-Georgia. So.
Important injury notes for Saturday's game against the Auburn Tigers. Rakeem Boyd, Treylon Burks were back at practice yesterday, according to Sam Pittman. You're still kind of waiting on Monteric Brown and Julius Coates, but Sam Pittman was pretty confident in them being able to play Saturday, and then he was still unsure about Dorian Gerald being able to play against the Auburn Tigers. Clay, these guys being on the field Saturday, it's going to be very important for Arkansas' success against Auburn.
Yeah, you want to have some weapons, and the offense, I think, was handcuffed a little bit in the fourth quarter, not having, some of the playmakers. You basically had Traylon Smith, handed to him, and that, I think, Mississippi State finally figured that out a little bit. It's like, got to track that guy. And he's a good player. That's the fun part about this offense. And you lose Boyd and you still got Traylon. You'd like to have Burks, and and Boyd is one of the better players in the league, in the SEC.
No question about it. You got some national recognition this week. Kurt Herbstreit listed you as his second most impressive team. And as far as coaches, he listed Sam Pittman and Barry Odom kind of together as his second most impressive coaches. Tommy, you mentioned earlier in the show, it's just been 1 week. You could get thrashed by Auburn and go back to the bottom dweller. So it's important that you have a good showing this week as well.
You can keep it up, and you got a chance, to do what people obviously don't think you'll do. And if you win this game, the dividend is you're kind of in second place alone. Now, I know, depending on what Mississippi State does, they could climb up and be there with you record-wise. But you beat Mississippi State, so you have the head-to-head edge over them. Now, we assume that Alabama's going to beat Ole Miss. We make some other assumptions, like A&M is going to probably lose even at home to Florida. Now, those are assumptions. We'll see what happens. But Arkansas has an opportunity to be 2-1 in the SEC Western Division, and they could be kind of all alone in second place if other games hold the form. Now, we're asking for other games to hold the form, but this one not, because let's be honest, Arkansas beating Auburn, even in a sloppy mess and a rainstorm, still wouldn't be holding the form.
One of the good things that you've got, and it's going to play out several times this year, is that you're playing, and it's the nature of playing a 10-game all SEC schedule is, and I think a lot of people were really upset that they picked up Georgia and Florida. But when I looked at the schedule, there were a lot of positives, and I think we talked about them. Where you play teams is really important, and you're playing Auburn right after a rivalry game, a game they lost to Georgia. I mean, that's a game that means a lot. Everybody knows about the Iron Bowl. But Auburn-Georgia is an old, old rivalry. They fight for the same players in Atlanta. They're not that far apart. Their fans hate each other, and it is a serious rivalry game for their players. So you're playing them right after that, and there's other – you play LSU after Alabama. You play Alabama after Auburn. You play Ole Miss after Alabama. Those are good situations for Arkansas. You just take care of business and play hard every week.
Whoa. I thought the schedule makers put the shaft to Arkansas when and Georgia. Hang on, wait a minute.
I know. I told you that when it came out. There's some positives to this, and you have to look beyond that. And I think that you take care of your business, and I also thought playing Georgia first was a bit of, a help that, Georgia didn't have a good scouting report on Arkansas.
Real quick, last quickie headline for the Hog Update. Scooter Harris.
I'm sorry, Ty.
No, you're good, man. Scooter Harris got to play last night and for the Green Bay Packers. I know Bob Holt was really excited about that. They get the win over the Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football.
All right, coming up tomorrow on the show, former Green Bay Packer and former Razorback Brett Good's going to join us. We'll talk special teams and get a breakdown on that and look ahead to maybe we'll even look back at the Packers game. He'll be with us tomorrow morning here on the Morning Rush. It's brought to you by Henderson Phillips Employer Solutions. That's where Brett works now. If you need employee benefits, you need health insurance, staffing management solutions, commercial insurance, personal insurance, Brett handles all of that now. Call him direct. His phone number is 479-651-2292. Northwest Arkansas, the River Valley, wherever you're listening this morning, Brett will come to you and work with you on your insurance and employee staffing needs. 479-651-2292. That's 651-2292 for Brett Good with Henderson Phillips Employer Solutions.
Sam Pittman was asked if there was any extra significance on the Auburn game, playing Gus Malzahn, playing particularly Chad Morris. Here was his answer.
It's just another football game to us, and we won't mention the fact that Coach Morris was the head coach here. They know it. You know, some of them probably loved him, some of them probably didn't, you know, just like any coach. And so we're going to take a business approach to it and go out there and try to do our best.
That is a great answer if you're not trying to cause bulletin board material. But the
I think it's – you're right, Ty, but I think it's also exactly the way it is. And that's what you get – with Sam. He's going to just say, and this is my impression of what the game will be like. These guys will be playing for Sam Pittman, not against Chad Morris. And that's what you want.
Yeah.
They're going to play for this head coach. They dang sure play for him. You could tell that in the locker room. They play for this guy.
I would say, Clay, it's going to be a combination because, listen, you're right. You saw in the locker room, you saw just in the game itself against Mississippi State how, especially on defense, this team refused to quit. But we can't just throw out the fact that there's still guys in that locker room that hate Chad Morris and they hate what he did in the program. And
here's some of it too, Ty. There's about 50 that were recruited by him. 50. I mean, he signed a bunch of players. Okay. They came to play for him. I think the older guys hated his guts, and a lot of those guys aren't playing now. And I don't think that they're, you know, it's the defensive guys, I don't think like Chavis. I don't think they disliked Chad, and they didn't play for Chavis. But it's really a weird dynamic that, you know, I think the fans feel that more than the players did. And that's from talking to the players. And it's like it didn't work, but I don't think they hated him from talking to him.
And here's the thing. Like, because I've talked to players too, Clay. Like, I'm closer to age than some of these guys. And I feel like that when it comes to being on the record about certain things, they're not going to tell reporters what they actually think about Chad Morris. But the conversations
But they'll tell you.
Well, okay, let me ask you something, Clay. When it comes to the coach dynamic between me talking with a coach or a coach talking with you, who do you think they're more likely to trust in? Just based on age, based on reputation, when it comes to something like that, it's you. But when it comes to the age dynamic here, when it comes to a player, and this isn't applicable for everything. I'm not saying that, but there are times that someone is more likely to tell me something just because of my age, just because of our differences that we don't necessarily have because of that kindred spirit of a sense. Now, that's not applicable with every case, and you've done a fantastic job with player views and stuff over the years, and I'm not overstating that, but I think in this situation, I think that you're wrong in the sense that you don't think there's as many players in that locker room that hate Chad Morris, because I would go out and say there are still a ton of players in that locker room, regardless if they were recruited by him or not. If you're recruited by someone for a job or something in life that you are told, you're sold, hey, it's going to be this way, it's going to be this way, it's going to be this way, and it doesn't come to fruition. All the everything that was promised doesn't check out, then a lot of people are going to hold a grudge. They're going to be ticked off, they're going to be irritated, they're going to be hacked off. Well, Clay, as you mentioned, a lot of those players were recruited by Chad Morris, and they were not given what they thought they were being sold in the recruiting pitch. Now, not every player is going to be like that, but I can tell you that there are a lot of players in that locker room who are going to be fired up for this game, not just for Sam Pittman, because as you mentioned, they're playing for him. There are a lot of players that hate that guy that they'll see across the way on Saturday.
Yeah, I think there's some. In talking to him, you know, unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of one-on-ones in the last 7 or 8 months, mm-hmm. but we got some. And, you know, I've asked a couple of guys off the record, and I do have off the record conversations. And it's not just the players that I talk to. My sources are incredibly good throughout that building. I won't go into details, but it's like, so the sources that I have and the sources you have are different. Let's just put it that way.
That's the best. Where do you hang on this, Tommy? if you had to pick? Because I'm with Clay in the sense that they're like, Clay, you're not.
I think there's some.
I think there's some because keep in mind, Chad only had how many recruiting classes? Two, right?
Yeah, two.
And I think in the end, these players have moved on. It's kind of like when you go through a divorce. You know, you're heartbroken, you're bitter, you're angry until you move on to the next one. And then when you or you lose your girlfriend, you know, you're mad and you're angry until you find your next girlfriend. And, you know, these players have moved on to the next coach, and now they've got to win. You know, do they want to beat Chad Morris? Yes, but they want to beat Auburn. They want to win for themselves. They want to win for this team. They want to win for the player next to them, to borrow the cliche. Are there some that want to beat Chad Morris? Yeah, but I think they want to win for themselves more than they want to beat Chad Morris.
Yeah, there were some things that Chad did that were incredibly frustrating for players, and I'll tell you one that I didn't get, and I saw it the first day I walked into the building, and I talked to players, and they didn't get it, and there was a huge mural on the side of the inside above where the players ate, where they had training meals, not over at the, you know, the new academic center, but they had a buffet that they would set up there. And a two-story mural had a picture of Chad Morris and, you know, the quarterback at the Houston Texans that he coached, and I'm going blank on his name, right?
Deshaun Watson.
And there is a Deshaun Watson mural that's basically two stories high in the building with a Clemson jersey on. Now, that was strictly done for recruiting, you know, players to come in from Texas and realize, oh, yeah, he coached that guy at Clemson. But just like, so who should you put up there? You should put DMAC. It's like there isn't any doubt. And that stayed up for about a year, and eventually it came down. But those are the kind of things that the players, especially the older players, it's like, we don't get it. We don't understand. And now a lot of those guys are gone, but it was a bone of contention with players that I talked to. Santos Ramirez was one that told me, he says, we don't really understand that, but we're trying to figure him out, talking about, you know, Morris. Yeah. But that there were some things that the players did not appreciate or like or understand. Yeah. But, and you may be right, Ty, they may go out there and taunt him. I don't think so. I think that these players are really focused on what they're doing with their coaches because that's been drilled into them. And I want to tell you, there is one great difference in Chad Morris and Sam Pittman. Pittman's practices are intense. They are gritty, and they are tough. And what you see on the field on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon is exactly what the practices look like.
So, well, I'll tell you this, and we just got a few minutes left. If this offense doesn't find a way to be more productive and not have eight punts and a couple of fumbles and
time of possession and protect that defense,
through two ball games, you know, essentially this offense had, I know it's 14 on the drive chart, but one of those was a pick six and one was a single play, end of half,
right,
kneel down. So effectively, Clay, and we went over this yesterday, they had 12 offensive drives that had eight punts, two fumbles, two touchdowns. I mean, that's not going to cut it. I mean, that's the key this week is how do you find a way to improve from two touchdowns, one in game one against Georgia, two this week against Mississippi State. Auburn's defense isn't far behind Georgia. It's not as good as Georgia, but it's better than Mississippi State. How do you turn that touchdown number from two into three or four this week and maybe hope the defense or special teams helps as well? You're going to have to score somewhere in the 20s, mid-20s, to probably have a chance to win the game.
Get that running game going. I mean, it changes everything. And it's the – both teams know that. Which team gets the running game? I mean, you can't be rushing for, you know, 21 times for 70 yards, and that's kind of the norm of both these teams in the first two games. You got to have more production in the ground game, and if you can, then you run the clock and you rest your defense, and you don't have to score every time.
Yeah,
but you got to score more than what they have. But it's, I think without question, the special teams play is critical in this game, especially with a wet football. That's where things get sideways really quick on a muddy. And if you'll remember, Chad Morris took a team down there that played poorly in special teams, and Arkansas basically stuffed their running game in that. That was the one Gus Malzahn offensive day that Arkansas did well against the running game. Mm-hmm. But they block punts, they return punts, so you better have that straightened out. And I think they did a little bit last week, but it still makes me a little nervous with what I see on special teams.
We got about a minute. What do you think Briles and the staff was seeing in practice that made them want to put KJ Jefferson in near the goal line? I mean, I can't believe that was done on a whim. There was something they've seen in practice that prompted them to do that. What do you think was behind that decision?
Well, I think that you know, and you remember the Mississippi State game last year, and he's from Mississippi, and you saw the light go on when he came into the game against Mississippi State, and he made some incredible plays running the ball in that game. And he's a 235-pound load, and has got speed. And I think now Franks can run it too, but you get in a position that, you know, you've got a reconstructive ankle, and how much do you want to run him? And I think the idea that he's a willing runner is good, but he is a talent, KJ Jefferson. It didn't look very good, but I put that more on the blocking than anything else. They're still not just superior as far as being able to blow people off on the goal line or on third and short. They had a third and one later in the game that didn't go well either.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.